brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Come on in. Make yourself at home.
Take your shoes off.
Take your shoes off.
Oh, put them back on.
Oh, well, for some people. You're right.
Not in Jersey.
Okay. This is another suds segment where our motto is to drink and belch and repeat. Today's episode is a brewery takeover.
Do you think that could be a Boy Scout patch?
Drink, belch, repeat.
I think it should be.
Mm. Only if you say, excuse me.
Maybe a merit badge.
Merit badge. Yeah.
The liquored up badge.
Mm-hmm. A God and Country badge if you're from Bavaria.
Right.
Nice.
There we go.
I like it. Well, we recently picked up a few beers from Flying Fish Brewing Company in Somerdale, New Jersey. We're going to be sharing them with our co-host today and bringing you all along for the ride. Speaking of co-hosts, joining me today at the table is good old boy Dave.
Greetings, citizens. Marvel at the sight of my well-oiled, glistening masculinity.
No way. Glistening with what? Hang on a second. Is this the hip waiter episode?
I think.
I'm well oiled.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's very fine. Interesting. Yeah,
whatever. Just move on.
Very interesting. Also joining me at the table today.
Also well oiled.
Reverend Mark.
Hey, it's better to be here than nowhere. I mean, anywhere else.
Oh, thanks.
It really is.
But we're talking about Jersey today. So you want to be there.
Also at the table, good old boy Mike.
You know, I have spoken with people in North Dakota, and I still don't get it.
Banned so, once again.
And you're still banned from there.
Anyway.
Both of them said, don't come back.
I am here again. Yes.
And for those of you that don't know, I'm good old gal Juliana. Yay. So before we get into more of the said segment, this episode is brought to you by...
Do you like stuff? Do you need things? Well, come on down to Stuff and Things. We have more stuff than anyone, and our things are so competitively priced. Stuff and Things, Things and Stuff, Stuff and Things and Stuff and Things. Things. Now with more stuff.
They got to run on their stuff right now, folks. Get in there.
Get it now. Get it while it's good.
I almost have enough things.
You sure?
I'm working on it.
He needs more stuff, though.
And things? Yeah.
I need a question while we're talking about Jersey.
Wow.
Man, this guy hates Jersey.
I know. What's up with that?
I've been there.
Band. Well, it once is, again.
Band. Yes. Well, it is a well-known fact that I love road trips.
Really?
Really.
I know. Shocking, right? I'm probably the only one that likes to
drive.
It's
right up here, Dave.
Yeah.
Is it on the right? No, it's on the left. It's right up here, Dave.
Just 7 hours from here.
Yeah.
I don't see what the problem is. Anyways.
Yes, I know your butt's numb, but it's fine.
Can't you hold it for 4 hours?
Yeah. What are you, a little girl?
I'd rather drive anywhere I can instead of flying. I love taking different back roads and driving through small towns and mountains and just seeing the world around me.
And
really?
You chose to drive through.
Who
Jersey?
Made this up? Gosh.
I was trying to write it in the voice of Juliana.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Right.
So almost any time Dave and I go on vacation, we drive. Yeah, I know. He's not pleased, but I drive. And it goes without saying that wherever we go, we try to bring back beer.
70 cases minimum.
What is the proportion ratio on road trips to marital counseling sessions? Is it like 2-1?
So, well, so if you stay out on the road long enough, there's no time for counseling.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So on our last trip up to Pennsylvania, we bought beer from several states, including New Jersey. So, yeah, good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us about Flying Fish Brewing Company.
When Gene Muller founded his brewery in 1996, wow, that's a long time ago, he did so as a virtual brewery on the worldwide interweb, and he named it Flying Fish.
Michael Jackson was still alive then.
That's true. For the both
little
of them.
Little Michael.
For the constellation in the southern hemisphere that represents exploration and adventure. By allowing drinkers to engage with him directly, he soon garnered attention and accolades that led to the funding that made Gene's dream a reality. And the first production brewery was built in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
I've seen drinkers engage with brewers.
Stop it. By 2012, the original brewery had outstripped its capacity and a new location was secured close by in Somerdale, New Jersey. The installation of 463 solar panels, solar tube lighting in the warehouse, recaptured steam in the brewing process. Wow. And rain gardens on property make it one of the most God, is this
sustainable?
Yeah, sustainability. Good, these people, breweries in the world. A diverse and adventurous portfolio of brands retrains the engaging dream, ongoing dream. There you go.
Wow.
Thanks for sustaining that paragraph.
About three minutes longer than I need to.
I'm feeling a lot more engaged, Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you engage with me directly?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave, your beer sucks.
Wow.
Subtle.
Listen to this guy.
He's subtle. He's
okay. Nice. I could be a little more subtle. Dave, I think your beer sucks.
Mike is so, Mike is the original internet troll.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
He's got the face for it.
At least somebody has to fulfill that role.
He's channeling his inner New Jersey.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sitting there on the World Wide Webs going, yep, nope, ain't going to happen today, buddy.
Whose feelings can I hurt today?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, then.
Well, good old boy Mike, why don't you give us the ratings for today?
I'm giving you the lineup. But
yes. Lineup. Sorry. Yep. Lineup.
Well, she's been drinking, folks. It's okay.
The Flying Fish Brewing Company beers we'll be tasting and discussing today are Hopfish IPA, Caramel Espresso Porter, Outside IPA, Onshore Lager, Fried Ice Cream Stout, Salt and Sea Session Sour, the XPA Citra Pale Ale, Jersey Juice IPA, and the Stormy Skies NIPA.
Yay.
Yay, Mike. Did something great.
He's great. All those big words right,
Mike's
Dave.
Mike's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, he got that fried ice cream stuff.
There's no sustainability in that. That's why. Yes.
That must be it.
Yeah. Moving on.
and no environmentally sustainable gardens.
Right, correct.
That's right. We don't have rain gardens around here.
No, not yet.
I thought they only had acid rain in New Jersey. Anyways.
No.
What are they growing?
No, we have that in
cadavers.
The Great Smoky Mountains. A lot of acid rain.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True.
Ew. Reverend Mark used to do a lot of acid rain back in the
Acid rain.
Wow. Reverend Mark, yes, would you mind giving us the suds reading?
I'm not
going to
talk
today
about that. Thank you very much. Well, we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature, of course, belching sounds. So here's how those ratings go. Number one, man, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch? And number three, what a relief. Number four, you know, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Wow. That was good. All right. Well, let's get on to the beers, shall we?
Yes.
Or should we just drink them?
Yeah, that too. Okay. The first one that we're going to talk about is the Caramel Espresso Porter.
Is it caramel or caramel?
Oh, well, tomato, tomato.
How would they say it in Jersey?
Yeah.
Camel?
Yeah.
Camel, like a camel?
Yeah. Maybe like a camel.
Yeah, it's camel.
So this is 7.5% ABV. Alluring aromas of rich caramel.
Camel.
Now I got it in her camel. Head.
Bright roast and hints of chocolate lead to decadent notes of coffee and caramel sweetness in this full-bodied porter. Available while it lasts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah. It's definitely roasty.
Yeah. That. The definitely, this porter will just jump up and grab a hold of you. It's very bold. The coffee is definitely, you smell it about a foot before it even hits your nose.
Definitely, like, I like the caramel sweetness on the nose and then how it begins to flavor.
Yeah. And even in my glass, it looks like I've got a really nice stand of crema.
Yeah. So, you know, my diehard standard for a great porter is how close does it come to a Tootsie Roll? And this is definitely right in the chocolate Tootsie Roll family. I mean, if you probably tasted this two side by side, it'd be a dead ringer for that.
So like paraffin-based caramel?
Yes.
You're right. Correct, yeah.
Wow.
What do you think, Juliana?
It's really nice. But we will discuss this a little bit more in just a brief minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're doing a brewery takeover of Flying Fish Brewing Company from New Jersey. And we were just in the middle of discussing the first beer in this grouping, and it is the Caramel Espresso Porter. And it's such a, it's dessert, but it's a really good dessert.
Mm-hmm. But it's not pastry. Not pastry sweet. Yeah,
no.
That's what I love about this is that the sugars are really quite honest. And I think that because that huge, you know, bitterness component of this is really just kind of keeping everything in check.
Yep.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, even if it's a really dark beer, but it's bitter, but not astringent. There's no astringency there. You know, no puckering astringency.
I think it's always tough when you have, you know, really big flavor forward beers like this to kind of keep everything in check. And that's what I really love is, you know, I love how all this is kept in a great balance.
Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the secret.
It is. So we rated this beer, the Caramel Espresso Porter from Flying Fish, a 4.
Yeah. You know, it didn't say that there was any, you know, coffee that was in the list of ingredients. So I don't know where the coffee flavor came from, but whoever picked that out, or I thought they did a great job with it. So
there's chocolate malt, mm-hmm. pale chocolate malts, mm-hmm. and maybe it's just all coming from that.
And I think also the roasted barley gives a coffee
and
aspect.
Does it too.
Yeah,
gives it that nice bite at the end.
Yeah, it's really, and I like how it lingers on the tongue and it's not super sweet either.
Yeah.
That's just,
to do that without a bunch of adjuncts.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's good. I'm digging it. Totally digging it. Okay. Moving on. We are going to go to the onshore lager.
Lager.
Yes. So the onshore lager, their home is surrounded by a breathtaking stretch of ocean and beautiful waterways. An onshore lager is their tribute to that environment. Brewed without adjuncts, this beer pours a golden color and German-style hops provide a crisp, clean finish. This one is 4.9% ABV.
Go, Mark, go.
Yeah, and even though it's kind of borderline session strength,
sure,
not really, kind of there on the border.
Yeah.
It's very clean as a lager should be. I don't get the sulfur notes like sometimes you do. It's just a straight malt type bill that they used apparently in the grist. And I'd say it really is it's a great exponent of what is called the German purity sort of ideal, the Reinheitsgebot. It's simplicity made in this case very, very good.
Do you get a little bit of the green apple in there, like you can get from some lagers?
Yeah, maybe a tad.
Yeah,
but I just
don't always notice it, and I notice it a little bit here
as it warms up.
Well, and yeah. I thought this was a bit off, for me. It was something on the finish and aftertaste that just was not working for me. It was like a. It was a bitterness that I just couldn't seem to get off of, my palate fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking of this as a clean finish and something crisp.
I think the hops come in late on this one.
Maybe that's it, because I just kept on looking for that very crisp, on and off finish, that you get with a lager. And I was like, this is hanging around, man. What's up with that?
Yeah. What'd you think, Julie?
I liked it. To me, I like the name of it. It goes along with what I would be doing. Like I'd be out by a beach or on a lake somewhere with it. Just easy drinking, no nonsense, straightforward, very drinkable.
Definitely keep it cold though. And
yeah,
finish it there.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking what this reminds me of. Florida Cracker.
A little bit.
From Cigar City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we rated the onshore lager a 3.
All right. Let's keep it going.
I know, right? Okay, now we're going back to the dark. And now we're going to try some fried ice cream. Really?
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, it's a stout. An imperial stout and fried ice cream flavors together. Why not indulge two great things at once? This rich and complex stout provides ample aromas of roasted malt and vanilla, then gets paired with real vanilla ice cream, flavors of cinnamon and dark chocolate to produce a truly unique treat. 10.3% and a whole buttload of malts.
Buttload. That's like half of an ass ton. So when I hear fried ice cream, I always think about, I think it was Chi-Chi's. Was that restaurant way back when I was a kid? And they had the fried, it was like fried ice cream. And I would see all those commercials.
And I would always, that so well.
And I would always want to go, but we never went. And I never got to have it.
Aww.
Did you talk to your family counselor about that?
I did.
To get a free t-shirt out of it.
So grow up.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
People in third world countries got real problems. It's like, dang, man, I just want some fried ice cream. But now I get some of this. And it's nice. It's weird. It's a weird flavor to me. It's very sweet. But I taste like an ice cream cone.
Yeah. I think this would be better on ice cream.
Yeah.
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 Maybe. Yeah.
I thought it was a dead ringer for a fudge sundae. If you were to go to Dairy Queen and get a peanut butter parfait or something like that, it's that same kind of fudge, that you would find, in a lot of sundaes that reminded me a lot. I do not like pastry stouts. I mean, I wish that I could probably, you know, put that on a bat signal, and I don't get it. I mean, is the brewer a candy shop, or are they making beer? Because I keep on watching brewers that keep on making a lot of these pastry stouts, and they're dumping, you know, birthday cake and donuts and, you know, candy bars and all this crap into the you know, boil ton. And I'm like, what are you doing, man? You know, this is not beer. You know, this is like so far away from, this is not, you know, this is Candyland. And I mean, this just literally tastes like, you know, a fudge sundae bar, you know, of some kind. I'm not a fan of this style. It's just too sweet for me.
What about you, lady?
I almost taste cherries, even though there are no cherries in this thing. It's really weird. And on the aroma, I get like I'm in an ice cream parlor. Like, do you know what I mean? There's that distinctive.
It's like the waffle cone. I get part of that.
Is that what that is?
Okay. Yeah, it's that. It's like really kind of sweet, battery.
But if I wanted a waffle cone, I'd go to an ice cream shop and buy one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy a beer.
But would it be 10.3%? No, it wouldn't. So there.
Vodka blends with anything.
Wow. So now you want to get a bushwhacker.
Okay. I think it's good. It's a little sweet, but it just reminds me of like banana splits, you know, back in the day.
I'm just disappointed it didn't have a cherry in it.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is something I could definitely order up at Jenny's, but, you know, as far as ordering up a pint of it,
I'm kind of with you. Certain. I think if you took a can of this and kind of cooked it down a little bit and made it a sauce to put on some ice cream, you'd have to burn all the alcohol off, but whatever. Be nice and thick. I think that might be tasty, but I still like this. I think the beer, I couldn't drink a lot of it, but I like it.
Well, that's the point. I think it's a good shot of beer, but not a pint of beer.
Yeah.
And I have to say, though, as it's warmed up just now, again, as I belch, it's just pure cinnamon wafting through my nose.
Yeah. There you go.
How romantic is wafting. That? Yes, yes.
Quaffing and wafting.
Well, the fried ice cream stout from
Flying Fish,
we are rating a 3. Okay, let's move on to something completely different.
Yeah, can we talk about my picnic table?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your
picnic table. Talk about the picnic table.
Look, we talk about everything good
in life.
Is that
the one you stole? And
Mike stole the picnic table.
That's what I'm telling you about. Is that I don't get this. All right. So we love to talk about everything good in life that's worth discussing. This is worthy of discussion. Okay. I don't get it. So my wife and I were out on a drive in a national park, and they had a picnic area, and it was down by a creek. And so we stop and we go down by the creek and we're sitting at this picnic table. It was a wooden picnic table, the seat, but it was on like a steel frame. And the steel frame had a link chain around the bottom of it. And then it was padlocked to a giant concrete slab that was buried in the ground. So I just kept on staring at this. It just was in like full line of sight, you know, where I was sitting on this picnic table. And I'm like, what idiot would steal a picnic table?
you know what?
Yeah.
Nothing is safe anymore.
I bet the park rangers asked themselves that about 4 times before they figured out they needed to padlock these things to the ground.
Yeah. The whole thing just got me thinking. I'm like, so I can almost hear something playing out, you know, in a trailer park, you know, in the southern part of the state, you know, thinking, you know what we're going to do this evening? We're going to go get us some picnic tables.
So you got drunk teenagers, drunk rednecks, drunk redneck teenagers. You've got scrappers looking for scrap and drunk teenagers.
You're saying that the same people that would steal the Shoney's Big Boy are the same people that would steal a picnic table?
Shoot, yeah. You know how much meth you could get for a stolen.
Where do you put this stuff on your resume? At the top or at the bottom?
Oh, Mike, they don't have a resume. I don't think you write a resume if you've stolen a picnic table.
Hey, it could be that timeless skill that everybody's looking for.
How to pick a lock.
I just keep on thinking about the whole thing playing out in General Sessions Court. Son, did you take the picnic table? Yes, I did. It's like, you know, where do you start with that? I mean, you know, where is grand theft? I mean, where does larceny come in?
Your
after
Honor,
after the third picnic table that you steal?
Your Honor, nowhere on that picnic table was there a sign that said, do not take this.
Yes, I agree. There you go. That's my point. Yeah, that's I guess why the chain is there. But the padlock was the other stupid thing. It's like, how do you keep track of the keys for the padlock? You know, it's like, hey, I'm Roger Bob. I keep track of the padlock keys. You
know what I mean? Bring me the key to number 7.
Swarm. We got to have a padlock here on picnic table number 502. Swarm. You know, it's like, I mean, you know, it's like, where do you say that's my job?
So here's what I like about this story is they go to this beautiful park and they're sitting by a creek and Mike's wife is probably just enjoying being out in nature and enjoying that fresh air and everything. And Mike is sitting there going, you know, I'm going to write a story about this table. I'm not gonna write like, a story. He's like walking around. I wonder if they're all chained down. I
just didn't get it, you know?
Like, and probably by the time they got back to Nashville from where they were, she was like, Mike, if you say one more damn thing about this picnic table, I will strike you.
Did they have a committee meeting so that they figured out that they needed to lock these things up? I just want to know where was the planning
did,
at all?
Did she hit you? Wow. By the time you got home, had she hit you?
Negative.
So was it anchored by a steel chain?
Yeah.
Then that might have been a grounding apparatus.
No.
You know, because it's sitting out in the middle of a field, it could be struck by lightning.
No, it was a tornado. There were huge trees all around this thing. Yeah,
shelter in place under the picnic table.
Hey, honey, let's go sit on the picnic table. We're going to be safe from the lightning because it's grounded. Right? You know, dude, right. There's a bright moment. It's probably the same dude that steals a picnic table comes up with that train of thought.
Well, you know, people steal ATMs, so I'm pretty sure if they wanted it bad enough, they'd get around that chain.
I think these people would probably like the fried ice cream stout beer. That's probably what I think. So.
That's rude.
And if they had enough of them, they would walk off with that table no matter what.
Hey, yeah. Listen. Well, anyway, if you can think about the quandary of my plight of wondering why would you chain down a steel picnic table.
If you've ever stolen a picnic table or know someone who's stolen one.
Dying to figure that out.
Please send your story to info@successfolks.com.
That's right. Please use the hashtag, I steal picnic tables.
Direct message Mike on Instagram.
Right, yeah.
Wow. Okay, moving on. Let's get back to the beer. Let's talk about the Salt and Sea Session Sour.
You betcha.
Yeah, 4.3% ABV. And let me just say, there is a whole lot of flavor for this little guy, considering he's a little guy in terms of ABV.
Smells nice.
Memories are made by the sea. And this Session Sour is inspired by evenings on the boardwalk. Enticing aromas of strawberry and lime evoke hints of salt water taffy, providing a souvenir twist to this unique style. God darn, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. Mm. No, like I didn't read the script beforehand. Sorry, wow, that's me. That. I know. Yeah. But the moment that I tasted this, oh my gosh, I was on the shore. I was on the boardwalk and I was having taffy.
She was on the shore with Snooki and the situation and...
Are you kidding? No. No. This is what they weren't even, their parents weren't even swapping spit when I was on the boardwalk back in the day.
Wow. That's an interesting story. Tell us about that. So, taffy.
Very much so. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Love this beer.
I know. Isn't it great?
Light and fruity. Citrusing?
You know, it was some of my other tasting notes here beyond love this beer. Creamy. It's very different. I just don't think I've ever had a session sour that was this flavor forward. And it was all in great, really great balance.
Yep.
The strawberries were definitely the thing, you know, coming all over, you know, your nose and your palate as well. And I love this beer. It was absolutely my favorite of the whole flight.
I like what you said about creamy. The mouthfeel on it is for such a light little beer. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not a kettle sour that gets that, you know, that kind of thing going where you kind of grit your teeth, you know, and you would think the salt would come in and just, you know, screw everything up, you know. It's all great harmony. I love it.
Sits in the back and does its thing. What did you think, Mark?
Well, when I first tasted it, I wasn't on the boardwalk. I was more like under the boardwalk when I was much, much younger.
Were you stealing the picnic tables?
Where I was stealing the picnic table that was grounded from lightning.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it took me back to a very sweet time with my first bottle of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill.
Nice.
So
that's fair.
Of course.
That's fair.
Please see episode number 302.
Yeah.
But I did get the strawberries, and makes me yearn for spring, even as it blooms before our eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's great beer.
Yeah, it's really tasty. I like the salinity at the end, which kind of like balances out the sweetness that you get from the strawberry. But it's a very pure strawberry flavor as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without really tinting the color of this into like
that's what I was wondering
territory.
How they did that, because it's a very, it has a lot of clarity, and you think of pectins and
right. It doesn't say, so I don't know. I'm really impressed by it. In terms of the lime, I don't get a lot of lime.
I got a fair. I thought the not lime really. Kind of balanced out the strawberry
okay.
a little bit.
Yeah, I got more strawberry than anything else.
Yeah, definitely strawberry for sure. Yeah,
but the salinity at the end is what like really just
because it kind of reminded me of a strawberry limeade, you know.
I guess I was waiting for this to taste like a strawberry fruit of Goza, and it's not that at all. Yeah. This is a lot smoother.
It's its own thing.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's really impressive. I could use some more of it. Okay, so we rated the Salt and Sea Session Sour a 4.
Great beer.
I think we need Gene Muller to send us a description of how he made it on a case of Salt and Sea.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. We will continue in just a minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back. Guess it's time to get out of that boat and drink some more beer, right?
Do it.
I'm over here thinking, how do you...
Oh boy!
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking more about my story. It's like, so, do you sell a chain? You know, a link chain going, this will hold down a 400-pound picnic table. I mean, it's like, you know,
I don't think
it's a
you
picnic
base,
table chain.
You don't base the size of the chain on the table, but on who's trying to get the table.
This will withstand 400 morons. Yeah. I mean, you know. It's like, I don't...
This is an 8 redneck table.
Right, yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
A 2-winch.
Yeah. Right, there you go. That's going to take 2 pickup trucks.
All right, Juliana, maybe we should go to the next beer.
Yeah.
You asked me what I was thinking about over here.
I just was thinking it was time to drink more beer, but that's just me.
Yeah,
okay.
Beer, yes.
So, for those of you tuning in, Flying Fish Brewing Company is the brewery of the day for us. And the next beer that we're going to talk about is the XPA Citra Pale Ale. 5.2% ABV. It's an extra pale ale, simply known as XPA. This was their original beer. It's quenched the thirst of many along their journey. Like a change of scenery, this updated version is citrus forward and begins a new chapter for the XPA. Warrior, Palisade, Citra, and Eldorado hops.
Huh. That was okay. It wasn't one of my favorites, but...
I thought it was a really well-made beer. This struck me as something that somebody absolutely had down, you know, and they could make this all day long, and it would always hit this mark.
Yeah, and being their original beer and just sort of a maybe a new iteration, you know, it really strikes me as one of the classic American-style IPAs in that it's a kind of an all-pale grist. It doesn't really have any caramel malt to speak of, kind of fighting against your sensibilities with the hops. I think it rates high on my kind of purity level of where IPAs can be at times. So, you know, I thought it was very well made and a very just good classic American standard. Wouldn't put it at the highest level, but it's a good one.
I think the choice of using Citra was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a good one because that's usually not a hop that I usually think of, you know, in a pale ale.
Right. No, usually the C's, I mean, usually Cascade and Centennial. And
right,
the
Chinook.
Yeah. And even maybe a little Amarillo, but yeah.
Very nice. I think, like you said, classic, very classic. The new, like the Eldorado hops coming in, I think is like a kind of, it's a new twist, you know, a new version of the same, of what am I trying to say? Like just a new twist on an original, but I could see why this was one that they would start with in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. because if they started in 1996, what was really popular back then, you know, pale ales and regular IPAs, like not the fancy West Coast, NEPA, right, and all that weirdness.
Right.
So I could see how this would be their flagship.
Yeah, I would kind of compare this to, you know, like one of the early.
I was thinking this is a dead ringer for Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada, yeah. Well, I was thinking Anchor Steam, or Liberty, the Anchor, yeah. Liberty, you know. Mm. Just kind of that, one of those first sort of benchmark American IPAs.
Yeah, but it's still relevant today. I mean, yeah. It's really tasty, it's balanced, and I could drink a few of these.
Yeah, my tasting notes were spot on, smooth and easy, very tasty, very bright. Yeah, this is a really super solid beer. This is a money cash cow all day long.
You know? So if this beer was a picnic table, would you try to steal it?
Or yes.
Or would you chain it down?
Would it come, yes, with a chain?
You can't chain this.
Who would you trust in the brewery with the key to the padlock?
That's true.
Mate, Ralph, right over here. I'm in the corner. Do you work here? Yeah, of course I work here.
Sure, man.
Wow.
Well, the XPA Citra Pale Ale from Flying Fish, we are going to rate a 4.
Oh. Yay!
Great beer.
Well then.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about some of the other ones that we have. And first, let's go with the Hopfish IPA.
Well, I think we should tell everybody that, so the rest of the flight we're going to go through, there was not a bad beer in this flight.
No.
It's just for the sake of time that we are not going to get through all the 4 remaining beers like we normally would. So let that be. We'll probably still put our full
go quick
notes on it. But yeah, a lot of great beers at Flying Fish.
Okay, so the Hopfish is a brilliant little thing. Catch one and reminisce about the classic days of IPAs, fortified by multiple additions of hops and balanced with residual sweetness of caramel malts. Yeah. Yes, this does look kind of caramel-y. 6.2% ABV.
Lower end ABV for an IPA, caramel malt, good hoppy bitterness and flavor and aroma. Yeah, classic old school IPA.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, you know, I just wrote, you know, I thought it was reminiscent of a good session IPA, even though it's not session. I know it's 6.2, but I was a little tad sweet, you know, for me.
Yeah, and I think that's why I rated it a little lower than the XPA, in that it did have the caramel. It did have a little edge of kind of caramel sweetness that I think competed with the overall profile that I'd want from just a straight up IPA. That's just my taste. It doesn't mean that somebody else wouldn't like it and would like it and would be wrong.
Sure, but if somebody's looking for something a little caramel malt forward, you know, and a little bit on the sweet side, then this would work for them. Right. This would work for them because there still is a decent hop presence to it. And this one we rated a 3. Moving on, let's talk about the Jersey Juice IPA. This one is 6% ABV, packed with newly developed cryogenic hops that are twice as intense in flavor and aroma over regular hops. The result is huge citrus, mango, tropical fruit hop party in a complex, unfiltered beer.
Moist.
Negative, Ghost Rider. Moist.
So, Jersey Juice sounds like something like after you play a hard game of basketball and you got to squeeze your...
Ew.
Squeeze your shirt up.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was going all the way, but yeah. I knew that there was not going to end up in someplace good. So
it doesn't taste like that. Okay. No. I'm going to say that. It does not taste like that. It's actually not bad.
It almost just sounds like a local riff, like Cumberland Punches, you know, for here at East Nashville. Yeah. Mm.
It's not a bad beer. It's actually, it warmed up nicely. Nice hop notes to it, pretty well balanced. It's a good beer, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I think as I smell it again, and it warms up, and there's even more aromatics, at least in the nose. It's almost like unwrapping a pack of juicy fruit.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of that going on. With the taste, I mean, it is a smorgasbord of different kinds of interesting hops. I don't know that I pick up every distinct difference, but I do see that there's a lot of hop kind of maneuvering going on in there.
Yeah, I was guilty of the description influencing specifically how I felt about, you know, this, because when I read the description and they went with cryo hops, my mind goes, this should taste like a fresh hop beer.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're aiming for. And then they said, you know, it should have double the punch, you know, of hops.
Which it does not.
It is way far short of that. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would almost go so far to say that the hop fish actually was hoppier than this, you know,
this
than
one's
the Jersey
very
juice.
Subtle. Yeah. But it's nice, but it's you're right. When you read something and you're expecting one thing and you get something else, it throws you off.
It just struck me as I think it was a new experience, you know, for the brewing staff to use that ingredient. And I think that they thought it was going to, or they were sold that this is really how this should play out, you know, in the beer. And I just don't think it played out that way.
If you put 1 ounce of this in 500 gallons of beer.
Yes.
It's going to magically.
It's going to taste like, you know. All this amazing
700 pounds of
lupulin.
Hops.
Yes. Yeah. It just, you know.
Yeah. What did you think there, Juliana?
Well, but aroma wise, there's a decent aroma to it, but yeah, it falls a little short. And I'm
sorry, I'm smelling this again.
Mike's dream, is that what that is?
He's dreaming of picnic tables. If anybody sees a middle-aged white guy driving up the Natchez Trace with a picnic table in the back of his red convertible.
I got a whole set of padlock keys I'm going to try out.
Please call 911 immediately. Wow. So what did you...
I thought it was a little sweet and I thought it was a little lacking in the hops for what I was getting, what I should have been getting out of the description. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's decent, but it's not like, wow, like I was hoping.
Yeah. I'd drink a pint of this.
I think the description made a promise that the taste could not fulfill.
Yeah.
There you go. That's exactly it.
That's a good way of putting it.
They wrote a check that their beer couldn't cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Return to sender.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So the Jersey Juice IPA from Flying Fish, we rated a 3.
At least it wasn't a 2.
That's right.
True. Okay, so the next one that we'll talk about is the Outside IPA, which is 6.3%. The great outdoors are our playground, and we brewed Outside IPA as a perfect complement to doing what we love. A classic, clean American IPA, ripe tropical fruit and pine aromas are a breath of fresh air, and the finish will keep you ready for more. Whatever your adventure, Outside IPA is your companion. And there's a nice little tent on the can.
Pinching a tent.
I wrote, it's just kind of okay-ish. This has a bit more of a creamy mouthfeel to it, and I just didn't like the hop blend. Something was wrong. It was out of balance and way too bitter for me.
I don't like the finish.
Yeah.
If it would have just stopped, like right before the end, but it's just this bitterness just kind of carries over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the notes that I put, that it was one of the higher attenuated IPAs that I tasted, and that usually creates sort of like a really nice palette on which you can then lay down your hop flavor and like really express it. But whatever gets expressed here just doesn't register in a good way with me either. It's not overly bitter as much as just the bitter is not necessarily as enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Well, maybe there wasn't enough residual sweetness to balance that.
That's it. You know, yeah.
Because it is a little sharp on the ending, isn't
it? Yeah. It just stays. It's like, come on, just go home. Just stop. Mm. Just get out of here. But
well,
it just stays.
I think what's interesting, you know, looking across all of these, you know, four IPAs we have, you know, kind of here at the end is that they haven't figured out a hop blend that's working well for them. I think they need to change out a hop contract or, you know, source out something different because they have not really found a super overwhelming winning IPA blend. You know?
I'd really like to go to their tap room, like when, you know, you can go to a tap room again, right. But and see what they have fresh on draft and see how those taste. Because, you know, you have stuff in cans and you don't know how long you've been there.
Yeah.
You know how that impacts it. Plus, you don't know what they're playing with experimentally in the tap room. So I think judging by what these guys do, what we've seen from 8 or 9 cans of beer, they do some fun stuff.
Yeah. They know how to make beer and make great beer. I just, I think we've seen this, you know, with breweries that there's just one style of beer that they just have not mastered. And I just think the IPA is the thing that's biting them, you know, really hard across the board.
Now, the caramel espresso porter, yes. They got that down.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, could you send another case, please?
Yes, please. What did we rate the
outside
IPA? Outside the outside. IPA. We rated a 3. And last but certainly not least, we were able to get through all of these, is the Stormy Skies, NEPA. As the old saying goes, a calm sea does not make a skilled sailor.
Or a great NEPA.
Sometimes we travel under stormy skies to reach brighter destinations. This classic NEPA features ample haze.
And no.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No.
And is double dry hop with citron mosaic, providing hints of pineapple and mango. Maybe. Enjoy the journey while it lasts.
Yeah. So.
7.3%.
Okay. ABV is about right. It's not hazy. Mouth feels not quite where it should be. And it's a little bitter for a NEPA. That's me. That's all I'm going to say.
And I would say, to give them credit where credit's due for it being a NEPA, I do taste some of that maybe oat adjunct. Or, you know, I mean, there's a little bit of an adjunct taste going on there that's appropriate for this alleged style.
Yep.
I think that they're part of the Clear Beer Consortium.
They might be.
Because this is the strangest looking NEPA that I've seen.
Yeah, don't haze me, bro.
It is just clear as a bell. And
I'm reading the New York Times through this right now. So
There is just, this is so far away from the style declaration of a NEPA.
Tasty beer, though. If you just thought of it as an IPA, you'd be like, it's pretty good. No, I would.
I think the mosaic and the citra are just way too weak in this thing, man. I could have doubled all that. Easily.
What do you think, Juliana?
I'm getting a good amount of citrus on it. Now, from a NEPA standpoint, I don't feel like it's juicy enough. But from a nondescript IPA version, like that, I would go with and I'd be like, yeah, I could have this all the time.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So there's that. Well, we rated this Stormy Skies NEPA a 3.
3 picnic tables out of 5.
Exactly. Who would have thought we would have talked about flying fish and picnic tables?
Stolen picnic tables.
I know. Yeah. Stolen picnic tables at that.
Maybe it's people in Jersey. I don't know.
but you're not from Jersey.
Drive down to Tennessee and pick up
a couple of picnic tables, apparently.
Come on, Jed, let's go.
Well, this was a great episode, and...
Was it?
It was a great episode. And cheers to Flying Fish. And I do like their can art, too. Can art's kind of cool as well. Especially the salt and sea.
So important.
Whatever. Okay. You know what?
Hey, they backed it up with what's in the can, buddy.
Sometimes a girl needs some can art. Anyways.
Isn't that called a tramp stamp?
Oh, wow. You can always find us where you found this episode, as well as radio and satellite and online at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and nearly any place you listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google Play Podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
And you know we would love your feedback, so you can reach us online at info@sipsudsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram every day. That's why they're daily, at Sips, Suds, and Smokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with news.
Please take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online.
Five stars.
Our stars.
Well, I guess this is it, right?
This is it.
Okay. Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, I just want to say bye.
Cool. Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
It is so good to be here to espresso myself.
Wow.
Good old boy, Mike.
Hey, come back. Listen to another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Hang on to those picnic tables. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Thank you for listening to us. Check out more episodes and keep on chuggling.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.